Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. And before we start, there's a technical error. My fault entirely. I do apologise. And I'm so annoyed at myself because it was a good podcast. We had an agenda. There's lots of to-ing and fro-ing. But the technical error resulted in Paddy, Pete and Steve's mics not being recorded. So just me. And I've chopped out all the big gaps. It's up to you if you want to listen to it, of course. But if you do, I hope you enjoy. But I do apologise. It won't happen next week.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Thank you for that. They're lovely in the background. Right, welcome to the committee meeting on the Weekend Podcast. We've got an agenda this week suggested by Councilman Peter Hibbard. We will be talking about broker issues. Should you buy the dip? Trends, Pfizer vaccine day, massive rally coming, Croydon, TV recommendations, curry making skills, and Dominic Cummins. Right, are you ready to start, ladies and gentlemen? What? Yeah, I like committees. Right, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. Right, here we are then. I mean, there's a committee, this will be in TV recommendations, but there was a show, I don't know if anyone knows it, it was about a Welsh committee, and it was excellent. It was so backward. These ladies applied to have their room in this workingmen's club once a week, and the committee men held a meeting about it. They declined it because of the fact that they're women. And they literally were very serious about talking to this lady in the committee, and she left, and they just burst out laughing. I said, what? It was like a comedy, but, a backward-looking comedy. But it was real, I think, anyway. But anyway, it was during the time of the coal, and Arthur Scargill and all that. So let's crack on then. Guys, have a guess. Start off with a question. Have a guess, right? How much money, cash, I've got in my ISA, uninvested cash in my ISA. Have a guess. Anything you want. I'm free. Keep it free and open. The forum.
Lower. Yeah, take it, Pete. At the back list. Yeah, exactly. Because you're bound to win in the end, didn't you? Steve, go for it. Lower. Yeah. I don't know the percentage, but it's £20 and 78 pence.
I'm fully invested. Do you know why? Do you know why I'm fully invested? I reckon we're right at the start of a massive opportunity, a massive Santa rally. No, a vaccine, fuel Santa rally. Because did you see that day this week? The Pfizer vaccine day. It was, ladies and gentlemen, it's Pfizer vaccine day. And the markets were nuts. Yeah, well, Steve just said, what is that? Yeah. So on Monday, Pfizer came out with, efficacy rates of 90%, all right? How it works is a placebo and their vaccine, right? So they had 40,000 people in trials. They haven't broken it down yet, but they suspect 20,000 people were given the vaccine. Why COVID is quite good, having a virulent disease going around while you're trying to come up with a vaccine is very good because there's lots of people who'll be catching it. You can test the vaccine on. Beforehand, MERS, SARS, for example, started dying out, the disease. They couldn't have enough people to test it on. So they're going for it. They need 164 people, pretty much, to catch the vaccine. That way they can tell if it's effective. They were going to start off with 32, just an interim sort of result of people. Now they've got 94 people have caught coronavirus. 90% of those were in the placebo group. The others, 8, had the vaccine, so it was effective for 90%, right? And so they'll keep going up and people catching, they'll get better figures. But that put a rocket up the sectors on the markets that have basically been hammered down. You're talking about, travel stocks, banks, leisure, hospitality, the ones that, and conversely, it hammered the COVID testing stocks. Now, I'm going to say something controversial here, and I know people are obsessed with COVID testing stocks because they've made people a lot of money in this downturn. But there's people saying, well, testing will be here for a long time. There's a government contracts going out. The government is spending like $42 billion on testing over the next few years. That is 3 times the amount they spend on police force in England in 2018-19. Right? So that's how much they're spending. I'm going to say some of those contracts will be cancelled. Because if you've got an effective vaccine, why do you need testing? So I don't think... And people say, well, still testing will be around for 12 months. 12 months is not enough. Markets rally, look, 12 months down the line. You need further foresight than that. You need to follow the trend. So I'm saying, you know, first on the agenda here, buying the dip, right? Should you buy the dip? I'm going to do a little video on this saying one reason you should buy the dip if it's in trend. For example, if you think the share price of the company you hold will be hammered by future good news on vaccines, don't buy the dip. If the company you hold had a boost this week because of the vaccine news, yes, buy the dip, because there's more vaccine news coming out. Pfizer's, for example, has to be stored at minus 80, so it's quite logistically hard, but it can be done, because they can ship out in these dry ice containers, all that, and it costs a lot of money. And so we apparently got 40 million doses in the UK. The next one coming along is Moderna, exactly the same tech, mRNA. It's a new kind of tech that they've discovered and they've pioneered. That'll be coming along very soon. Then you've got the big boy, AstraZeneca. We're going to have 100 million doses of that. That can be stored at room temperature. And if that's successful, now, data before the end of this year, the stock market will rally like crazy. Now is the time to take positions in these hammered down sectors. But do not buy the dip on these, I think, honestly, on these COVID stocks, because the trend is now down on them. If you want to be hammered again every time a bit of news comes out, that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking that there was like, if you can get a nice analogy here, you know, when the tide changes, when you look in the water, and the tide is coming in and then goes out, then you get one big wave that signifies the tide has changed, and then it goes back to normal for a little bit, but the tide is changing and it's coming and it's because of course, if the tide's going out, you've got to have a bit of a force of energy to change the tide, and basically you get one big wave come in and then. Then others, subsequent waves are not as big, but then you get the odd big one now and again coming back in. So, but I think that first wave there,
it's true. Yes, you get one. If you stand on a beach there, right?
But it depends what time it is. If you're tied in, tied out. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, you often get. And if you're building, I've been on the beach last holiday we had, which was, when was that? You're building a hole, trying to get the water coming in the hole. Sometimes you have to build the hole on the beach just far enough away from most of the waves not to mess up the hole. But every now and again, a big wave comes in and fills the hole up with water. So that change in tide, that big initial first wave, is a signal, it's a sign. It's good, Steve. Thanks for adding to the analogy. So, if you've been holding sort of a stock, maybe in the leisure, travel, banking sector, all the stuff, maybe you are in the hole. Been in the hole for like last year, 6 months since March, pretty much, when the stock market took a dive. But the wave is coming out; it's going to float us, and we're going to go up. And literally on Monday, if you look around the world, just look around the world, some stocks like TUI, EasyJet, they have 40%. That is a signal, a flag saying, oh, it's here. Here we go. Tide has changed. And that'll happen again. You mark my words, Moderna come out, probably with news end of this month, with their vaccine. And Dr. Fauci, I don't know if you see Dr. Fauci. Do you know what? He was championed by Trump at the start. And then Trump started saying some stupid things, and Dr. Fauci disagreed with him. Trump didn't like it. He tried to put him down a bit, knock him down a few pegs. But he's seen as the authority on this. And he said that. What's good is, the good news from Pfizer is very good for the others because they're all focusing on the same kind of protein. And so the success rate should be very good for all of them. And so he reckons it's not just a one-off Pfizer success. It'll be replicated by Moderna. AstraZeneca and Oxford University, a bit different, but they are focusing on the protein that Moderna and Pfizer did. So it looks like it's going to be good. Did you see that? Pfizer's... A dose of Pfizer, this is the problem. Two doses of Pfizer actually cost £29.47, right? That's what it costs. We've bought 40 million doses, the UK government. The Oxford AstraZeneca dose cost £2.23. It is, isn't it? We've ordered 100 million of those. Exactly. If it doesn't work, it's not very good value for money. But what I'm saying is... Yeah, I think boys strap in. I think this next few.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And there we are. Go on, Peter. I've got my six stocks. You know my six stocks. I didn't want to. I'm sorry, Steve. I cannot mention my stocks in this committee meeting because Councillor Peter Hibbard said we shouldn't keep mentioning the same stocks. And I said, well, this is what we had. I said, they're the stocks I hold. I'm not a trader. I'm not going to mention different stocks every week. They don't trade stocks. I'm a long term investor. I never trade. Thank you very much, Councillor Peter Hibbard. Okay. The answer is, Steve, I have topped up here and there in little dips on all different stocks. So some in environmental, Symphony Environmental. I've got enough Escape, and I've got about 2.8 million shares there, so I've got enough of that. But that's my. I mean, but talking about largely, my portfolio is not affected by COVID, apart from Escape Pen, which is a leisure. But that's my leisure play. So you know, Pad said that he's jumping into TUI and all that. So no, my leisure play is Escape Pen. I think that'll be a lot higher, of course, in the next 12 months. So I put a bit in Gfinity. I put a bit in Gfinity. Where else is it? Put a bit in Salt Lake Potash as well, because that's come on. We're talking like just over 2.5 months before they start producing there, and it's not moving. It will move. Have a bit of patience. I saw someone on Twitter saying, "Oh, it'd be nice if the share price went up," because Tony Sirichik, has been showing the progress at the site. Phenomenal build going on there. Worth checking out his Twitter feed. The CEO of Salt Lake, it's nearly done. It's up pretty much, and so. By February, mid-February, late February, they'll be producing from that. They're not far off that. And I didn't buy any more Plarium because it's hard. I got enough of that anyway. And on the market, I bought some on the market as well. More of that.
Yes.
Sorry, that's all, Councillor Peterman. Sorry, Councillor Peterman. Yeah, one of the things. Yeah, the thing is, you've got to identify strong long-term trends, right? Now, we know, I'm talking about trends that are going to be around for 3, 5, 10 years, more than that. You know, if you buy stocks in that are in front of this trend, generally over time, you'll do better. It's like, you know, I should have realised, I knew that with Powerhouse Energy. The hydrogen trend is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Of course, even now, actually, did you see the news today? They've announced that they're going to bring forward the date at which you can't buy petrol and diesel cars by 10 years. So it was going to be 2045, and now it's 2035. So the trend towards electric or alternative, you know, forms of energy to power cars and stuff like that, that's going to get stronger. That, we know that's a trend. But I'm talking about generally, right now, the trend of the growing economy and the stock market was disrupted by coronavirus, you know, and then some alternative trends took over, like COVID testing and all that stuff. Now we're going to revert to mean, back to normal, you know, growth in those segments and sectors that we haven't seen in the last 6 months. And of course, stock market, you know, generally it works 12, 6 months ahead, basically. So if we can see light at the end of the tunnel, if we can see, you know, a path to recovery, the stock market will start to rally. And the more news from these vaccines stocks that come out, those sectors will just boom up on those days. They'll do very well. And so I think we're reverting to mean, basically. Once COVID has disrupted this growth trend in the economies, and now reverting to mean. So I say, you know, get on trend. So if you buy the dip on stocks that are going down, of course, you're in trouble, because they'll rally a bit and then go down, drop even further. And in fact, I'm going to show on my video on the weekend, I'll show two charts. One of a trend going up, which is NASDAQ, and one of a trend going down, actually, and I picked Centrica. It's been going down for years and years. And if you, so basically, sell the rallies in downtrends, you know, buy the dips in uptrends.
I think Councilman Pete has answered his own question there. Thank you very much. Yeah.
No. That's exactly what I'm saying. Basically, you know, buy the dip in the uptrend. Don't buy it in the downtrend, because you keep buying and averaging down and it keeps going down, you're going to lose a lot of money. But I've averaged down before. No, I think you can do a bit of both, yeah. But if you're buying, you know, if you're averaging down, then generally it's because you think, you know, it's about to go up and you're getting it cheaper. I don't ever think you should ever average down if you think it's going to go down a lot more, you know, if it's in a downtrend. You should only, because obviously, yeah, but if you look at sometimes, you know, a stock's been massively oversold and it's very cheap and they've got cash, and you think, well, listen, 12 months later you've got a value generation point down the line, think it's going to be, you know, you could say, and that's another thing. If you've got a company like, for example, Salt Lake Potash, right, you know they're going to be, you know they're going to be making 60 million of EBITDA of cash per year, you know, starting pretty much next year. And then so you value that on a multiple of 5 only, that's 300 million market cap they should be. Now, they are around about, 170 at the moment. They go down to, like, you know, 150, you know you're going to double your money on that one lake alone. So it becomes more of a bargain. They've got the cash, they're fully funded for the lakeway. So you realise, hang on, I'm getting this cheaper, and it's more upside from this level. So you can see that there's a good reason for buying, you know, cheaper stocks, because they're going to get to a point where they've generated enough cash to show they're cheap.
Yes. No, I agree. If it's an uptrend, buy the dips. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think we've had a massive dip now recently on these sectors, and now it will revert to trend very soon.
There'll be stimulus. There'll be lots of, you know, money piling into the markets, and especially with Biden finally gets in there as well. I don't know what's happened. Trump's sort of half admitted, I think. We didn't even admit, really. But, right, I'll just remind me, when we get the TV recommendation section, I will be recommending a TV programme that explains Mr. Trump's refusal to concede. Also, by the way, talking about on Vaccine Day, right? Because I had Vanessa, of course, who's a friend of mine, a daughter goes to school with my son, they live on the road, but she wants to get into investing rather than put money in a bank, and so I've suggested funds. But she's had a Fidelity sort of account, and she couldn't buy some stocks, right? And I said, so she asked for recommendations of platforms. Now, you boys, I know Paddy's always complaining about Harry and Larry, but this week, a lot of platforms had problems on Pfizer Vaccine Day. There was so much volume going through. Now, in the old days, what would happen generally, when it was no online stuff, on a busy day, the broker just wouldn't pick up their phone. Because it was too busy, and also they get slashed on some of the prices, or they didn't know where they were, the market was too volatile. So I'm thinking it's the new version of that where some of the brokers just unplugged an internet cable and said, no, we're not going to bother dealing. It's too volatile. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Now, Larry, your lights have gone off. Yeah. Larry, turn that oil heater off. You've knocked all the lights off. So, yeah, did you have problems with? I know people on AJ Bell, and Harry and Larry, as Hargreaves Lansdown had problems. When did that? But Paddy, you reckon you could never sell on Harry and Larry?
That's Harry and Larry for you. Paddy, try to sell again. Don't buy your stock. Right, because it's up. We don't want to buy your stock when it's up. If it comes down, we'll take your stock off him, right?
Councilman Stephen, have you been having the similar problem, Stephen?
Yeah, the thing is, I've never had problems. I'm with Barclays, right? So Vanessa said their website is easy to use. They'll pay me to switch, transfer ISA. 0.45% management fee, no dealing fees. What's that about then? You get, well, for new customers. I hate that when they offer that to new customers.
What?
You know, you should reward the loyalty of the people staying with you, not the new ones getting on board. It's like, if you got a new... I don't know if you've ever called up places sometimes, and in insurance companies. If you are an existing customer sometimes, they put you on hold. If you're a new customer, you go straight through. It's like, I hate that. We do. You know, if you're bringing more cash to us, yes, we'll answer your phone. If you've got a whinging story, we don't want to end your customer already. We don't want to hear about it, you know? So, but she's going to switch. She said, thing is, I said, on high volume days, it seems to have issues. And she said, well, I'm not going to be bothered to... You know, on high volume days, I don't know where they are. So she's going to, and also, I say, you boys, you are long term investors. You shouldn't be buying and selling on high volume days. You should have taken your positions before it happened. Now, I've never had problems, honestly. I've never had problems with Barclays. I mean, the only problem I ever have is, of course, selling, trying to get a quote on a chunk when there's no liquidity there and you can't get a quote and you have to wait and. Well, mine's less than, it depends on how many you make. So with me, if I'm £6, I think, obviously you're topping up, I'm not trading, of course, I'm just topping up on stuff, but I mean, mine's about £6 a deal, I think. Yeah, but I think if you make one, it depends what you're buying. I mean, Steve, but you've got an amazing memory, Councilman Pete. Amazing memory, Councilman Pete there. That's why he's in... Go on. That's why he's in charge of petty cash. Lovely. Right. But I'm on Barclays. It's fine. And do you know what? I said, I don't understand Barclays. I try to look. They go back. I mean, I don't know when they made their website electronic, but I can go back 3 years on the website to see my... analyze my... You know what? No. He used to run on steam previously. I hate that. He used to get overheated and slowed down something as well very quickly. I can go back 3 years, right, on the website. I don't understand this. Bring the app and go back from the start. So if I go back 3 years, literally my performance is about 600% over 3 years. If I go back from the start on the app, it shows 4,500%. And I'm thinking that's back... almost when I started sort of they used to do online stuff. No, I've worked it out that it is accurate. So let's have a look. 2000. Oh, they are. So that's from 2000. I've just got. I emailed them saying, when does it go back? And it's a smart investor. So they migrated to Barclays Smart Investor on the 26th of August 2017. That's why I can get three years worth on that on thing. I don't know. Okay. According to how your Barclays goes back to 17th of the 11th 2009. So that's 4,499. There we are. And I've got it on spreadsheets, but I've been trying to put it together how much I've done over that year. So, there we are. So, why is it different? Why on the app can I go back? You'd think it'd be the other way around, wouldn't you? The app would be less information and the website would be more information. So, what I don't understand is, I'm looking on the market right now, right, the last trades, and someone bought 10 shares at 11 o'clock in the morning at £1.10. So that's, they're getting charged pretty much, they would be charged more pretty much, or close to more, on the dealing than the actual shares. That's, £11 there, isn't it? So, isn't that right? So, why are people, I don't understand, why are people buying 10 shares in on the market on the 13th, Friday the 13th? That's like, yeah, you have done that, excellent. Yeah, Steve did that. Literally sell, Steve, no, I mean, he sold, he sell like £2.30 worth for some sandwiches for lunch. I'll sell some shares. Just get my lunch there. yeah. Oh, they don't give me cash, do they? Yeah. Well, hang on, you make that argument about spreads on shares sometimes. I remember once we were talking about escaping. I said, get in now. I was telling you to buy those at 7 pence a share, pretty much. And you were saying, no, the spread's too big on that. I'll wait till it comes down a bit. It went up. I said, well, listen, the thing is, I said, the reason why a spread is so big on a share is because not many people are buying it. That's good. Now, and people understand this. The very hot stocks at the moment are the COVID stocks. On Vox, for example, they're getting some of those RNSs. They'll put out a holdings RNS, and it's getting about 1,500 views on it. You know, it's like ridiculous. And they're so hot. Now, when that many people are in a stock, there's not many people to buy it off you, you know? So it's good to get into a stock before not many people know about it. When the spread's maybe a bit wider, there's less liquidity because people are not, you know, not everyone's in it. Everyone can't be right. As I say, the entire market can't be right. Because if they are the market. You're the one. If you're outperforming the market, you're doing what the general sort of, you know, population of people are not doing. You know, it's like that. I don't know who it was, but the famous, the crash of 1929 in America led to depression, and I think it was Herbert Hoover or something like that went to get his shoe shined, and the shoe shine boy asked him, "He's loving the stock market." He said, "You know, what's the next tip?" And he thought, and he went back to his office and he sold all his stock because he said, "When the shoe shine boy's in the market, there's no one else left to get in." That is so it's a contrarian thing. When everyone's bullish, it's time to be bearish. When everyone's bearish, it's time to be bullish. Because, well, no, you want to say you're arguing over petty cash. Come on, Councillor Peter Mudd, you will not open up your petty cash tin. We need some more pens and pencils for a councilman.
Huh?
I know, but over time, it's immaterial. It's like saying, I don't know, but no. Someone just asked me on Twitter, actually, has Paddy actually bought any Escape Hunt shares? Because he's, have you? You are Paddy, aren't you? Because I don't really know. In the end, you've wound me up so long about it. I don't know who actually owns shares and who doesn't. Let me ask Councillor Stephen. Do you own Escape Hunt shares? Oh, I know you did. Yes, you bought it. Well, not the first. I was before you, I think. Yeah. See. And in fact, Steve, see, so what's the thing? What I like is this. When people are very, and obviously sometimes it doesn't play out, but when people are very sceptical about something because the share price is low and it's been low, look at the charts. I had someone on the YouTube video I did said, the chart is horrendous. I said, well, no, it's bumping on the bottom at the moment. It needs a tick up. And he said, I'm not looking at that until the chart. And then, you know, people argue with me. All of a sudden, when it was at 7.5 pence, all of a sudden, they're converted now at 13 pence. I said, well, listen, fella, it's pretty much, you know, since my first video was 6.75 pence in the stock, it's doubled, and now you're showing more interest than you did when it was a lot cheaper. You know, so it's done 100% pretty much, close to. And yet, well, no, you don't have to be into it. But what I'm saying is, I've had someone arguing with me now from, you know, discussing it with me on YouTube, saying, is it a fad? I said, well, listen, I don't know if it's a fad, but I think it's just extra room in the market for an extra leisure activity. The people are spending more money. If you look at the figures, you know, experiential spending is going up compared to just buying things, you know. So that's a good market to be in. If you look at their figures specifically, they're growing very well, 55% up year on year pre-COVID. And in fact, you know, even with the tier 2 and 3 lockdowns they had in Manchester and Liverpool, they were only 96% of turnover compared to last year. So even with the lockdowns in, they were doing, so the demand is there, you know, completely there, as long as they can open up the stores. But so this guy was arguing, yeah, but I think it's a fad. I said, well, don't worry about what you think, just look at the figures, you know. It's like people on Twitter talk about their opinion of, you know, of the vaccines and all that stuff, saying, well, the thing is, would you take that vaccine? I wouldn't. I think it's not for you, you know. The problem we have is our economy is locked down because our hospitals are filling up with vulnerable people who are contracting COVID. And that's why we locked down the economy, to stop the infection to those people. Now, if we get a vaccine to vaccinate that strata of society, like NHS workers, first of all, and then the people who are most vulnerable, you know, above, I think the first band of people is above 85, and then it comes down every 5 years. And so we start, you know, inoculating these people, and they get vaccinated, then we can open the economy back up, because the majority of us won't be affected by it. You know, we maybe get some symptoms. Some people, we won't even get any symptoms. So, you know, people saying, you know, these people on Twitter are like, you know, 30 or 40 and they got no health condition. I wouldn't take it. You don't need to. I'm talking about opening back up the economy. And we have to do that. We have to protect the most vulnerable. And if this vaccine can do it, then we're back to normal. Full stop. They don't understand. You know, it's not about whether you take it or not. It's not about that, you know. And also, at the moment, okay, on preliminary figures, 90% effectiveness, when all the FDA want is 50%, and flu vaccines are pretty much 40 to 60% effective. So it's way above flu vaccines' safety, efficacy, you know. But generally, when we have safe and effective vaccines, let me just say, people, what about the safety of this? First and foremost, that's the biggest, and people talk about thalidomide that happened in the 60s, 70s in America, all over the place. The reason why the FDA came to the standards they have today is because of thalidomide. They didn't commercially pass thalidomide in America. It didn't get to the market. It was independently tested and went to the market, but it wasn't passed by the FDA. And the FDA overhauled their entire system to make it more stringent and say you cannot now take drugs to the market without FDA clearance. So we've learned from things like that. But also, this is not like preventing nausea and all that stuff. It's about using your own immune system, you know, against yourself. It's like proteins and all that stuff. So it's not as... And first of all, look at Pfizer. 40,000 people were in the test there. 20,000 people have had the vaccine. There's not been one safety issue. So, well, I mean, I obviously you can't tell... I did see... It has been rushed. One of my I thought, the lady in charge of the medical board in the UK, I don't know if you saw her talking about the safety issues, and I thought, well, hang on, Dave. I know what we got, the preliminary data is showing there's no safety issues. Even AstraZeneca had one problem, that was with someone with underlying health condition anyway, but they've tested 60,000 people, something ridiculous. But I thought, well, hang on, you didn't actually know if it's completely safe, because we haven't got time. Like normally with clinical trials, it'll be done over years. So you have that years of time to tell who's reacting to it badly or not, you know? You know, will you start growing a third head in year two? You know, we don't know that yet. But she's saying, you know... yeah, the second head is fine. That's within clinical guidelines, it's fine, yeah. A third head, it's like, no, we can't have that. People are going to notice that third head. Safety, you know, as it is yet, is not a problem. Again, as long as we protect that initial strata of the society that are most affected by it, I think a lot more people probably had it than, you know, they know, proliferating. Yeah. But Paddy, you still being tested? Yeah, I'm now to do that once a month. So you started off the government thing, a random thing with Oxford University. They test you once a week for like a month, and then they go once a month then. But we get letters through now. We didn't get that. You can tell they get more organised. And originally, we didn't get any information at all. Basically, they'd contact you if you were positive. But now, we get a nice headed letter from the ONS, and it got boxes there, say, a box with positive, negative, or inconclusive, what I think it was. And it's like a little bit of a game show, open them up. And yesterday they arrived, the four letters for me, Megan, Monty and Fred, and you open them up and go, and thank you for taking part, and the result is negative. Oh, did it. That's the way they should do the Scottish, you know, COVID updates. And we tested the council, every resident of the council, we've all had committee tests now, COVID tests, right. Let's have a look what Pete's got. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Hibbert, Councilman Peter Hibbert is... negative! Yay! Right, Peter, Councilman Stephen Martin, positive, right? Out, Stephen, out! Get out! Get home! Yeah, isolate him! Yeah, I mean, lovely that. There we are. But anyway, do you want to talk about... Councilman Peter has refused me to talk about individual stocks, but, all the stocks... Will we ask at the end? We'll do the minutes. I want to say one thing controversial again. Do you hold any oil stocks? Now, I think they'll rally, but I don't think they're part of the bigger trend, longer trend. Now, if you're looking like 5-10 years down the line, or everyone's stepping away from oil, right? These days, if you notice, every company's changing them to energy rather than oil, right? They're doing everything they can, pretend they don't. You know, all the big super players are moving away to alternatives and renewables. The biggest sovereign fund in the world, which is oddly the Norwegian pension fund, big investor in oil, because of course they've got oil fields there, North Sea as well. They've started now not investing in any company, and they put billions to work in anything related to oil. It's all going to be renewables, and like I say, Royal Dutch Shell, BP are trying to, you know, pivot. So I think oil will have a rally temporarily because, of course, less exploration goes on because less money's spent because people are not in the cars as much and all that stuff and not travelling around. I think we'll have a rally in oil because there'll be less supply, but generally that's a trend that's in a decline. If you look at an IEA report came out this week, almost 90% of new electricity generation in 2020 will be renewable, with just 10% powered by gas and coal. The trend puts green electricity on track to become the largest power source in 2025, displacing coal, which has dominated for 50 years. That is a trend that's not going to change. You know, renewables and green energy is a massive trend, and it doesn't include oil, of course. So you may have, I see people saying, take your positions in oil stocks. Yeah, you may have a rally, but it's not longer term. And I think, do you want to be in a trend that's going to be declining over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years? Because the market, you know, works ahead of that. You've also got, you know, hemorrhaging, massive hemorrhaging of money coming out. All the big funds like BlackRock, all those people are not putting money into oil anymore. So it's an industry. So when you say an oil stock is cheap, the reason why it's cheap is because there's lack of investment. It's like people don't want to touch it, you know. There will be one, but the rally will happen when everyone's so bearish on oil. And that's when it happens, you know, because there's no more sellers left to sell. And then all of a sudden people reckon, hang on, we need oil. And we haven't got enough oil. We're still going to need oil for the next 10, 15, 20 years, whatever. Hopefully that's going to decline slowly. But even China, one of the biggest coal... You know, China's got coal-fired power stations coming out of every orifice. But they're still building them, yeah. But they've even said they want to be carbon neutral 2050. And I thought, what? Really? China's on a different scale compared to everyone else around the world. So that is an ambitious target. But even them saying that, that means the amount of, you know, money come out of the coal and oil is phenomenal. So, but I think you'll have a rally. I think, you know, oil will rally massively because, what is it, $40? And like I said, if you're not digging it out of the ground, and at the moment, demand isn't dropping off a cliff, so it's probably still going up a little bit from, you know, developed world. So you've got the demand sort of creeping along nicely and supply going down. That's your basic economics, isn't it? I know. I do like to top up. Do you know what? I did say at the start of the week, and this is true, and this is part of the things. I said, you know, the next winner, ladies and gentlemen, is probably within your portfolio. You know? It's probably there. I mean, sometimes, you know, we're always looking for something new, shiny. Oh, it's a new thing. It's going to be a 50-bagger, so that. But trouble is, if you buy another stock, first of all, you're not as well researched generally on the new stock as you are on the stocks in your portfolio. And also, you are sort of... You're diversifying not only your portfolio, but the return. So, okay, you've got to take on a bit of risk to get a good reward. So if you diversify more, then let's be honest, you're not going to get... You need at least 10%, you know, 10% pretty much in a company with portfolio values to get a decent return. And if you're holding... But if you start diluting that down, the rewards will get less and less. So I think you're better off buying the dip in a stock you know and trust rather than searching for something else, you know? So I've been doing that. 6 stocks I own... Councilman Paddy and Councilman Pete, I am at risk of talking about my own stocks. I have targets. I mean, listen, I think Plarium at the moment, you know, Plarium, I look at valuations pretty much. I don't know, share prices obviously attached to that, of course. But I mean, I think, and I've seen companies, right, literally with no revenue on the COVID hype, valued way above Plarium, and they don't have any future, some of these stocks. You know, they've got like a 12-month window of opportunity, and I think, are you kidding? Plarium has got a 50-year opportunity, pretty much, and even if they attract 1% of the MRI market, which is completely possible because it overhauls and brings MRI scanners, you know, for lungs up to 21st century tech, then, you know, these could be worth over $1 billion. And that's, you know, that, I said that's just 1% of the entire market. That's all, and that's I think that's plausible. So I think it could be a £1 billion company. I think it could if it goes right. Well, exactly. I can't top on here. I'm satisfied. Right, I'm happy with drops. I'm looking 12 months out. I'm thinking on the 10th of November, I pretty much topped up the last one of the top ups, and I'm going to sit there and say, right, 10th. I'm going to sit there next 10 years, not touch anything.
We're all laughing. I know. But what I'm saying, I would love to think, let me just try to see how long I can actually not buy or sell anything for, and see if that's the, let's see if I can though, right? See how long. 10th of November is the last top I did. Yeah, exactly. They come in nicely. Well, I'm down now. I've done my 50 days of exercise, intense, and now down to 10 pull-ups. So I do 100 pull-ups a day and 100 press-ups a day and 5 minutes running in between each set of 10. And I've got to say, Pat, I am stretching. And in fact, you know what? I got a little bit stiff, which is odd, because I do the exercise every day, and I started really going down to the floor, pretty much on straight arms, you know, the chin above the thing. I felt a bit stiff after the second day. So it's obviously, now it's affecting muscles it didn't affect before with my more frenetic pull-up.
You know what I'm saying?
My arms have added a couple of metres. My knees are on the floor. But, you know, in my head, I try and do it. And I said, do you know what? These TikToks, they may come along some shiny hussy. Hey, haven't been me, big boy. Hey, come on, invest. There may be a couple of those stocks that come along. Let's hold them for, I don't know, what, a month, maybe 3 months, 6 months. See how long I can get this. Like, when you start to exercise, I put a target of 50. No. I mean, hang on, Councilman Peter. No. To get to a year. Order. Listen, order, please. To get to a year, with due respect, you have to go through a month, 2 months, 3 months. It's like exercising, isn't it? When I set out this target now of like 50 days, I did it, quite intense. Now, I'm going to carry on this now, so I can get to 100 days on this slightly less frenetic, 100 days. So you've got to break the first target first. So, I've done pretty much a week with no trades. You know, last trade was on Monday, it would be a week on Monday. And it's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just sit there, zero cost to Barclays, you know, zero money to them, no cost to me. That's efficiency right there. So, and I believe in the stocks I have. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I was thinking, what's the smallest penny stock I've got? Gfinity. I thought I can buy. Gfinity at what? What's the price there? So our last one was 3.3 pence. I can't remember. How much would I buy that? Yeah, but that's £7. Yeah. So 14 divided by 0.037, because it's dealing costs, only about 14 quid there, and stamp duty. So that's 370 shares of Gfinity I buy. Measured by that, the biggest decimal point, the stock of the smallest denomination, and see how many shares I can get for 20 quid. There we are. I want to hold, you know, I want to hold, because, listen, just talk about stocks quickly. I do see multiples left in all the stocks I have, and on anyone's book, that's good return, you know, and that's excellent return. So I'm happy to hold for a while in any of them. I see multiples in all of them, pretty much. So, there we are. I want to do. I'm just moving on quickly to the next part of the agenda here, right? TV. Oh, Croydon, right. Croydon is bust. Right, on to TV now. The centre of the world, Paddy reckons, has gone bust. What happened there, Pad? Okay, we'll just move on then. The next agenda, right. let's move on to the next agenda. It's a long story. Is it anyone's fault? It's probably Conservative's fault? Do you think? I'm not partisan of any party. I don't care who the party is. I just think the party that can actually help, you know, provide jobs, education, good health service, all that stuff. That's what I'm after. I don't care about, you know, what Jeremy Corbyn, just from trashing the economy, they're Marxist left, too lefty, you know. Keir Starmer, if he can give some good policies on, it's very easy to look in hindsight, you know, Dr. Hindsight there, and say, oh, you know, complain about the government. And Boris has done he's messed up so many times. So, you know, like I said, one of the things, I want them to lose Conservative next government, because just through Dominic Cummings, the lack, the lying and the standing behind him But do you know what? That says everything about you guys, right? It really does. You should just kick them out. And I don't, if you look at Dominic Cummings, he's a waif of a guy, scruffy as hell, wears what he wants. Then how powerful is that guy, you know? I don't understand. He's a bit of a psychopath, a bit rude. And do you think so? Do you think so? Or do you think he just wants a bit of attention? I think he likes attention as well, mind. So he's probably thinking, right, you know. Yeah, yeah. That's what that other guy did, didn't he? That Lee guy, he went through the back door the day before. You can go through the back door, and they can still get a picture of you somehow. Yeah, yeah. If you go through the back door, front door is fine. It's just a photo op. Yeah, yeah. But the missus, Boris's missus got involved in that. She's, I thought, really? But she's ex-PR, isn't she? So she's in that area. But, yeah, so... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. She communicated very well with Boris, didn't she? Must have at one point, you know, thinking, I like this girl. She's very good at communicating, to the point where they communicated in bed, you know, at one point. Yeah, that's, you can't get closer communications than that. Yeah. So that's annoying. So as long as any, you know, government or party can deliver, you know, better expectations for the company, country than that, then it's fine. Let's go away from party politics. I think we should go on to TV recommendations. I've got two. The first one is a series of Explained. It's a bit, I was watching at the start of the week, called Whose Vote Counts? Can You Buy an Election? And it's phenomenal. The American politics, the money. We've got caps in our country. In America, they haven't. You know, what you can buy in adverts and all that stuff. And then that led me on to... And this explains why Trump isn't conceding. There's a documentary on there, a thing called Get Me Roger Stone. And Roger Stone is a really dirty trickster. And he's been around for years and years. He's been nagging Trump to get involved in politics for years and to run for president for years. And he's a really nasty... He's a guy like... a bit more of a flash guy, but Dominic Cummings, really. But trickster, a bit dirty tricks all the time. That's all they do. And he started it, pretty much. He was the guy behind it all. And he's good friends with that Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist of InfoWars, that basically is an insane guy. What I laugh at is many guys on Twitter follow Alex Jones and his conspiracy theories. He's banned from Twitter, by the way, Alex Jones. Not the lady from... You know, the one show. No, no. But he's a crazy loony shouting conspiracist. He shouts on his TV show every night. And Roger Stone is on that every night, pretty much. They're good friends, right? But people believe Alex Jones and his conspiracy theory. And he always says, mainstream media are rubbish. They're talking nonsense. They're all full of conspiracy. But you're believing the biggest conspiracy theories of all. And I think, well, you are brainwashed, not by the mainstream media. It's the same thing. Different person, same thing. You are brainwashed by Alex Jones rather than mainstream media. What's the difference? You know? I know. Yeah, I know. It's biased. I know. It's exactly the same, different mouthpiece. And do you know what? But Roger Stone, it's worth looking at this because he got Trump to be the first, he persuaded Trump to run first time around. But there was halfway through, you realised in the Bush, who was it? He was behind Bush as well. Bush and Gore, I think it was, the election of Bush and Gore. And there was a recount in Florida, right, of the votes. And, of course, he was backing Bush. And he got really nasty, Roger Stone, saying, I get all the people down from the Bush, get down to the counting house, start banging the doors and windows. And literally, they were banging the doors and windows of this recount in Florida to the point where the people recounting got so intimidated, they stopped the recount. Bush won Florida, and he won the election. And you think, hang on a sec, that's what they're doing now, pretty much. They're trying to intimidate everyone. It's the same playbook that Roger Stone is playing from. So even though he's not officially involved now, he was sort of stacked, but he is. He's close friends with Trump. It's still going on. That's why he's not concede, because they want to... But I think it's gone too far now, to the point where, you know, they can't intimidate any longer. And I think Homeland Security, everyone is saying, nothing's been rigged, there's no fraud. Biden will be in. And I'd be interested to see, like you said, Steve, whether Trump actually turns up, you know, to the inauguration, the handing over. I don't think he will. Will he? Will he turn up? I'd be surprised. Yeah, I know. But anyway, that's my recommendation. Get me Roger Stone. That's my recommendation. Now, you mentioned something else, Pete. What was that? I've not seen this. My language, Councilman Peter. Language. Oh, different spelling. Different spelling. Lovely, lovely. Where's it set? Is it set in Australia or America? Oh, okay. And what's it? What? Well, I was just thinking, I was asking recently, how are ITV making money anymore? I don't understand that. I'm just questioning their model, because no one watches terrestrial adverts or any of that stuff, and I don't know how they make money anymore. Councilman, swearing, please! I've asked in the chamber now twice!
ITV, where is it then? Oh yeah, ITV Steve produced Global, a distributor they are. Do they make it or not? So obviously it's not made. Oh, okay, because that's the way forward, isn't it, really? And you get people like Netflix buying it off them. Okay, I'll do that. All right. Anything else, boys? Are we calling this council committee meeting to an end? Lovely. Speak to you next week.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.